I'm gonna do a little, get some blood in my veins.
Oh, you're standing. I'm sitting.
No, here. I'm not gonna stand. I need to do better balances when I do that.
It's all that weight loss.
Now it's ready to do a podcast. Start recording.
All right, it's been recorded.
Oh, it's been. All right. How are you doing?
I'm good, man.
You look good.
Ah, thank you.
I'm so excited to be here. It's been like such a crazy, freaking crazy, like stressful and insane week for me. But
well, that's right. Do you want to do an official start? Or do you want to like welcome everyone?
Oh yeah, welcome. You go ahead and do that.
I was just thinking about what I wanted to say to everyone.
Well, if you're gonna whisper into somebody's ear, I mean, you're in their ear right now.
Hey,
what do you want to say?
Hey, welcome to Late Nights.
Ooh,
this is Lowe's.
And Trav's over there.
You're turning me on right now. That's really good. That's good. Welcome to Late Nights. I'm Trav, and that's Los. You heard his sexy whisper.
Yeah. If you're new, the format is as such.
Mm.
Travis hosts 1 week, and then I host the other week. And then Travis hosts the other week.
Yeah.
Just like that.
So this week is my week, and it's funny because we had a guest last week, and we recorded 2 episodes in one night. It was like long. It was like 2-hour-plus conversation, and we were like, oh, yeah, it's going to be good. And then like when we went back and looked at the file, we found out that like we deleted half or maybe a quarter of it. So we had like 1.5, and then it cut off at a really inopportune time. So we ended up just having 1 episode out of it. And we thought, hey, let's bring him back this week and we'll do it again. So, ladies and gentlemen, put your hands. Nope, he's not here.
No, he's not here.
See what I did? I tricked you. So, I was expecting tonight to be with a guest and we were just going to kind of roll with the topic of last week.
Yep.
And then you were like, nope, you're hosting, Travis.
Nope, you're hosting.
Was that today or was it yesterday? It's been such a hit week for me.
That was about 5 hours ago.
I can't even tell. That was 5 hours ago.
Yeah. I like putting you on the spot though.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. And so I explained to you on our chat, I was like, ooh, I got that feeling, you know, how did I say that?
You said, no. So I said, hey, you're hosting tonight. And you're like, oh, okay. I don't have anything. And then you said, I love that feeling. And we were talking about something else as well. And I was like, wait, what feeling?
Yeah.
The feeling of not knowing what you're going to talk about.
Yeah, that feeling. Isn't it great?
It's a great feeling.
It's an adventure. Like, I mean, there's, you know, it's like the moment when you embark on an adventure and you don't know how it's going to end up. And you don't have like a great plan, but you just know that something is going to come out of it.
It's like Bilbo Baggins.
Bilbo Baggins. I got my like weird pipe and like my hairy feet. And I'm ready to go.
All right, get at me with your hairy feet.
Well, okay. So the topic of today, I just decided like 20 minutes ago, is I wanted to talk about setting goals and achieving them, right? So how to achieve a goal once you've set it.
Dude, I'm so good at setting goals.
Are you good at achieving them?
Maybe.
That did not sound very definitive. What do you mean by maybe?
Maybe. No, that's something that I'm working on, and I've been working on for the last 4 years, is I'm great at setting goals.
Well, what's your process of setting, if you want, if I might be so bold as to ask you? How do you set a goal?
I've learned a lot from working at a company, how they set their goals.
Mm.
And it's your most bang for your buck kind of goals.
Ooh.
Right.
Okay. Tell me about that.
And so it's, so the way that I use it for myself is, what can I improve on that will affect most areas of my life?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And mm-hmm. so that's what I focus on in setting goals. However, those things that I'm able to set goals for are things that I've been struggling with my entire life, like procrastination.
I set goals so that I cannot be procrastinate, and I get to them tomorrow. Is that the case? but I'll start, my goals start tomorrow.
Yeah, so my goals will start tomorrow. Or next Monday.
Yeah. okay, so let me ask you this. If you're about to like let's say your goal is to eat healthy for a week, on Saturday night, do you binge?
On Sunday night, I binge.
Oh, because your week starts on Monday?
Okay. My week starts on Monday.
You're going to binge the night, like the night before?
Yep.
That's, I'm not unfamiliar with that tactic. My wife has this funny way of doing that.
Yeah.
But it's weird because she'll like be guilty about it. She'll be like, okay, on Monday, you better enjoy it. And like, it takes all the fun out of it. And like, well, of course I'm going to enjoy it. Why else am I even doing this? I know it's not good for me. I eat some ice cream because, it's because I want to enjoy it. Don't tell me I better enjoy it. Just take zapping the fun right out. So how do you set goals? Like, do you write them down? Do you tell somebody? Do you post them on the internet? Like, what keep them in a notebook?
I used to just keep them in my head.
Mm-hmm. How'd that work out?
Didn't work out well.
Okay.
I was that kid in school that never took notes because I was like, I got to store it right in here, right in this noggin.
Those are called nopes.
Those are nopes. And so many nopes.
I'm really good at taking nopes. Because they're just going to turn into nope.
There's a nope. And then I write it down.
That's right.
And then I write it down. And so that's what I used to do. What I do now is I figure out what it is that I want to do. And let's say I want to get better at not leaving things to the last moment. Mm-hmm. Right. And so the goal is if I have a due date, give myself to complete it a third of the way in instead of all the way complete. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's, what I.
Yeah. Yeah. How does that work for you? Do you like that feeling?
I don't. It's hard because I know I have like 3 more days to do something.
Uh-huh.
And so my tendency is to want to push it out and procrastinate.
No, okay. Of course, that's your tendency. But
But when I achieve it, yeah. I know what you're saying.
How does that feel?
It feels fantastic.
You like it? I don't.
I love it.
I like publishing immediately. No. I'm so impatient. Like, I've been doing that. Sometimes I make, like, I finish a video for Dev Tips, like, on, like, Wednesday. And yeah. I upload it. And I, you know, it's like unpublished and I annotate it and it sits there and I'm like, no feedback like on it. And like, nobody's going to watch this for 4 days, you know, like, and sometimes I'll forget to hit publish because it, like, you're just like, oh, it's already in the bank, you know, like,
oh, that's funny.
So
to answer your question, yes.
But you like it. Yeah.
I like it. I love that feeling. I mm-hmm. feel like there's no weight on my shoulder. I'm able to keep it off in small increments rather than unload a big weight off my shoulders when I procrastinate.
Maybe that's what I don't like about it, is that you're done with it, but it's still there.
Mm.
You've not handed in the paper yet.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
You're afraid of losing it or deleting it.
There's no finality to it. Like, yeah, I've completed it, but I've not completed it.
Yeah.
That's the problem I have with it. But in principle, achieving, you know, like doing things early. Like, for example, today I knew like we're going to have a late night talk and my notes go out on Thursday morning. Mm-hmm. So I wrote it early today. It's scheduled to go out.
So it is done for you. It is finalized.
Yeah. That's put to bed,
because
but it's
you scheduled
not,
it.
Huh?
You scheduled it.
Yeah. I set it up on a scheduler. So it's put to bed. That's technically.
Good. That's good. That's good enough for me.
It's good enough. But like, if I had to like wake up at 2 a.m. and push the button right now, I'd be all upset about that.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, depending on the mechanism by which you publish or complete something, you have to actually push the button.
Mm.
And if you complete your thing before you have to push the button, you have this space. This is like limbo of like, is it good enough yet? Like, should I revise it? Should I do, you know, like,
yeah,
I have, push the button.
You have time to fix it.
Anyway, so... what did you say? Like, how do you keep your goals straight?
So I never answered that.
Okay. I was like, wait.
We went on a tangent, as we do.
Sucker
punched. So right now what I do is I just write them down. I have a to-do list.
Oh, it's on your phone?
Yeah, it's on my phone.
Do you use, what is it called? Is it just...
Reminders.
Oh, you use reminders. Yeah. I like them as well.
Yeah, I like reminders.
That's where I keep my... day work and night work.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like reminders. I have long-term goals there. But unlike a company where a company has check-ins and whatnot, I'm not good at checking in with my goals.
Mm, yeah. So actually, that's what I wanted to talk about. Great segue. I wanted to talk about, once you've made the goal, how are you going to achieve it?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's where we're at today. So I just quickly jotted down 12 points.
Quick 12 points.
There. Yeah. So maybe the like say the same thing twice or something, okay. You know, I just like this was literally like, I need to drive to Los's right now, but first I need something. Yeah. So I wrote them down and here we go. Okay. So, let's just start this off.
Let's do it.
Let's just do it. Maybe we should do like a song. Achieving goals. Achieving goals. First you set the goal and then you achieve the goal. Good. That was really good. I liked it. Impromptu little theme song for achieving goals. Okay. So number one is only work on one thing at a time.
Focus.
Mm-hmm. So you could say it differently if you want. You could say the exact same thing differently if it makes you happy.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm looking for comments on all of these.
Okay, great.
Discussion.
Here we go.
Some good old-fashioned back and forth.
All right, back and forth. Here we go.
Why only work on one thing at a time, or do you agree with that?
I agree with it. I read the Steve Jobs book. Who wrote it? The big, thick mm-hmm. book.
Yeah.
And
Walt something.
Yeah, I don't remember his name. But one of the things that resonated with me is when Steve Jobs came back to Apple, the company was at in disarray with what they were focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
They were mm-hmm. not focused on mm-hmm. anything. And so everything sucked, right? Their products had weird names and it just didn't make sense. They just had too many markets. What he did was...
Do you know they had a fashion line at one point?
You mean the Apple Watch?
No. Apple Computers.
I didn't know that they did.
Before they were Apple Inc. Apple Computers had like a t-shirt and they sold like Apple apparel and hats and like, I think... jeans.
Whoa. Yeah. Did not know that. They were not focused.
No, and they were
a computer company.
Yeah.
They're making
well
jeans.
They wanted to be a lifestyle company. And that's always been their focus. They've always been like, we want to be Apple wants to be more than a computer. They want to be a fixture in the home. They want to be a what's it called? Like a stove or an oven, like a utility yeah. or something.
They've achieved
like that.
It now.
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
They just,
but in a different way than being in your underwear drawer.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a good point. So when Steve Jobs came back, he did away with all of these unfocused tasks that they had and focused on, I think it was three items, the personal computer, the home computer, and I forget what the other one was.
He drew a quadrant, a grid on the whiteboard.
Yeah.
And he said, professional is one mm-hmm. way and consumer. And then he said mobile and desktop.
Yeah.
So they made two laptops, two desktops,
yes.
one for yeah,
yes.
pro
yes.
consumer.
And so to your point, he focused the company.
Oh my gosh.
And we all know, if you don't know, that was the pivot and upward trend of Apple's popularity.
Quick aside. Do you think that focus is been lost in recent years with Apple? I mean, we now have just recently this Apple Watch coming out.
So this is what I was thinking.
Integrated with an Apple Car.
This is what I was thinking. I just
and then they just released a fashion line. So
yeah. So come April, right?
Yeah.
They just announced their stuff, but
now they have like colors to choose from.
Yeah, they do have colors to choose from, but I think they've focused, and I think they're still focused because they have. They've gotten better at focusing, and so adding another three is fine. So they have the watch, the phone, the iPad, the laptop, and then the Mac.
The Apple TV?
Yeah.
No, that's a thing.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
But it's not unfocused.
But then they also have iTunes.
Yeah.
Which is a thing.
It is a thing.
Anyway, it's not about Apple, but like it's interesting how like it can in order to be that focused. It takes continual vigilance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think they're good right now, but I think they're at their max.
Interesting. Somebody predicted that by the year whatever, that they will be manufacturing cars.
That's all right. They're going to have to let go of something else. Right?
Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Work on one thing at a time. So that's a really great example from the Apple company, but let's say, you know, you are a designer and you have multiple things on your plate. You have different people who are asking you for tasks. What does it mean to work on one thing at a time?
For me, what it means is I have personal projects. I have projects that I collaborate with others outside of my company that I work at. And then I have company projects. And then I have other goals in the company that I'm being pulled.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put them all on a list and I prioritize them. And how I prioritize them is by, one, the company where I work at takes first priority, because that's my day job. That's what I'm getting paid for.
Yeah.
And during those hours, I have a prioritized list and I know what I want to complete at the end of 10 business days.
Oh, what? Tell me about that.
So we do agile development.
Oh, it's just your company's culture to do 10-day sprints.
Yep. So it's 10-day sprints.
Got it.
In our product team.
I thought that was a Lowe's thing.
No.
Got it.
And so within those 10 days, there's a prioritized list and I put them in order.
Is that 10 working days?
It's 10 working days.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it's two week sprint.
Mm-hmm.
It's prioritized and I work on it on the tasks at hand from top to bottom in that prioritized list. And I just focus on that one thing until it's complete.
What if you're in the middle of something and
another project starts?
The dude from marketing comes over and he's like, hey, I really need a logo.
Oh, easy. What I'll say, if it's a logo, what I'll say is create a story and put it in the backlog of product management and then we'll prioritize
it. No. We already have the logo.
Okay.
I just need it.
You just need
You have it somewhere because you're a designer.
Oh,
I'm role playing right now.
Oh,
I'm like, I don't know how to do computers good.
Oh, here's what I do. I'm like, oh, these have been uploaded to the link, our like provisioning file, kind of like our internal Dropbox.
Yeah, yeah.
These have been uploaded like 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. Just go to product assets. You have a pen?
Oh. Okay.
Go to product assets.
Yeah, you role played me back.
Yeah. And so I just tell them where to find it and let them go find it. Because a lot of people come to you because they don't want to take an extra minute effort to look for the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm okay with sending them to go look for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So one thing at a time, you'll spend all day on one thing until it's done and then move on to the next thing.
I wish, and that's my hope and my goals, right? Mm-hmm. But at times there's other things that get prioritized or are more urgent.
Mm-hmm.
And so as long as all the stakeholders and my team knows that we're prioritizing this over what I was working on, I will stop what I'm doing and then just start doing what was urgent need.
Are you familiar with the urgent and important grid?
No.
Can I tell you about it?
Please do.
It's one of my favorite things.
Tell me.
Close your eyes.
I'm excited. My eyes are closed.
And imagine a 2x2 grid. So it's
What?
Are you listening? close your eyes. You start singing for something. Okay. Close your eyes and imagine a 2x2 grid. So basically it's like a four square. Right?
My eyes are closing. I used to play four square.
Yeah.
I love that game.
All right. In the bottom left-hand corner, you have things. This is in this bottom left-hand quadrant. Mm-hmm. You have things that are not urgent and not important. So these would be like watching a TV show or, you know, checking your Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Above that, in the top left-hand quadrant, you have not important but urgent.
Not important but urgent. What? Mm-hmm.
What's not important but urgent?
I have to pee.
That's important enough after a while.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of, it can get a little blurry, but generally these are things that kind of are other people are putting on you, generally.
Okay.
Somebody else comes to you and says, I need you to go look up in that Dropbox for me. Not important, but urgent. This guy's right next to you talking to you.
Right. Got it.
Got it. Okay. These would also be notifications on your phone, right? They seem so urgent. Lowe's, look at me.
Oh,
right?
But they're
not important.
They are not.
Not important. Okay.
But they are.
So that's the top left quadrant.
But they're not.
All right. Bottom right are not urgent, but important.
Not urgent, but important.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
What is not urgent, but it's important? Just something else that's due in like a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's even something like exercise.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to die or collapse or starve in the next 10 minutes, mm-hmm. but it's super important that this is a part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And the top right quadrant is very important, very urgent.
Okay.
And these are things that will explode your life if they're not taken care of.
Okay.
Right. And generally, that's where you want to be focusing yourself. things that are both urgent and important.
My eyes are open now.
Yeah, I know. You've been messing with my experiment. Disobeying the rules. So only work on one thing at a time was principle one. Principle two is make changes during periods of calm.
Calm.
So let's say you're going to start a new diet.
Okay.
Should you start a new diet when your mother-in-law is visiting?
No.
Right? That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-mm.
Periods of calm. You want to make sure you're in a good space and things that you can control are under control. Mm-hmm. And then you can add new complexity to your life.
Yes. Yes. You got to make sure things are in order when things are in order.
That's right. That's why January is such a big deal for people making New Year's resolutions, because the holidays are over, like all the in-laws are gone, you know, like it's time to button up and get my life sorted out for the new year. And people tend to make resolutions. Not only is it just a tradition, but it's also a really good time for that.
It is a good time.
Okay. So that we can move on.
Make
these important decisions and changes in your life during periods of calm.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Cool.
Yeah, it would just not make sense if you, I mean, my in-laws are in town and I'm going to start a diet when they're here. No.
Right. It seems pretty obvious, but like this principle can show up in different ways as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you have a lot of things due at work. Are you going to learn a new programming language? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, like different. Yeah. Okay. Let's say number three is make your goal as clear and specific as possible.
Specific. Yes. That is needed.
Mm-hmm.
That is needed because if it's specific, it's easy to, it's an easy target to hit.
Right.
If it's specific.
You know exactly what you're trying to do. Uh-huh. And take some time to craft the language of your goal.
Yeah.
Don't just write down like, you know, like something that is meaningful to you in the moment.
Work out more.
Yeah. Right. Right. Exactly. Right. So if it's,
eat less,
simple and clear and specific. So you're like, go to the gym and do the reps that I've outlined in section A of my goal list. Or, you know what I mean? Like follow this specific workout. Not just go to the gym, but follow this specific regimen that I've researched and I think is a good idea for me to try.
And that's hard, this goal setting and being specific in your goal setting.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard thing to do.
Well, it's easier if you do write it down.
Well, yeah.
Right? You can think about the language that you're using.
What I'm saying is this isn't something that you just do in 5 minutes, really.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's right.
More or less.
I mean,
More, not less.
Well, like here's one, like, okay. So let's say I want to learn Meteor. I was watching some tutorials by Scott from Level Up Tuts. They're really good. And I'm like, well, why am I learning Meteor? Other than he's a good teacher and it's a really interesting topic.
Yeah.
Why don't I make that goal a little bit more specific? Learn Meteor so that I can make X.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Make it very specific. So I'm not just trying to learn everything about Meteor. I'm trying to complete a very specific topic or a goal.
That's good.
All right. Number four. How do you say four in cuatro?
Cuatro.
Set things up on autopilot.
I'm thinking and I'm looking to the upper left of my brain.
You are. What does that mean?
I don't look to the upper right to think.
The upper right is the creative one, right?
Yeah.
And you look at the upper. That's the analytical one.
I'm analyzing this right now.
Uh-huh.
What did you say?
I forgot. You need to remember to analyze it. I said set things up on autopilot.
Set things up on autopilot. Yes, I like this. This is why I made a schedule for myself.
Yeah.
At the beginning of this year.
It's related to it.
Yeah.
So
I made a schedule because it's
yeah.
It's automatic. I don't have to think about what am I doing today, right? It's the calendar has automated what my tasks are each day or what my allotted time is.
Mm-hmm.
So you automate it so you have to think less.
Okay.
This is why Steve Jobs or some CEOs that I know wear the same thing every day.
Who else?
The CEO of my company.
Oh, he does?
Wears the same thing every day.
What does he wear?
Khaki pants, plaid shirt.
Plaid.
And when it gets warm, it's a gray shirt.
Oh. Wait, does he only have one shirt?
I think he has a lot of the same clothes. but it reduces a cognitive load of what am I wearing today.
Okay, so I also want to focus in on autopilot in basically automating your labor.
Okay.
So setting yourself up on like whatever way you can. Like let me ask you this. Do you set your alarm clock every night?
I do set it every night.
You do? Mm-hmm. Why don't you automate that? Why don't you just set it to where it's going to happen every Monday at this time?
Every month, because
you can have it repeating.
I could have it repeating.
Uh-huh.
Because sometimes I want to sleep in more.
And you're going to miss the goal of getting up on time or whatever it is. Yeah. Now, if you have a deliberate goal of sleeping in more, that's different. Yeah. But the point I'm trying to make is that there are ways that you can build into your life through technology, even through habit, automated goal achieving things.
So if I want to wake up at the same time every morning, automate that and have it repeating.
So you're not making that decision every night. Mm-hmm. And you're not possibly forgetting it.
Yeah, let me hit you with this, though.
Okay.
For me to go to sleep, part of my routine is to set my alarm for the morning. And that triggers my... It's a emotional trigger or behavioral trigger where I start... It's just like, okay, now I'm going to bed. I've set my alarm.
I don't want to touch your emotional trigger, but most people just go to bed when they crawl into bed. And so there you go.
No, it's a decision, man.
No, I respect that. But what I'm just using that as an example of this automating. Here's another example. Argue with this one if you want, jerk. I hate going to the gym. I don't like it. And I'm not good at it. And it makes me uncomfortable. And it's a time suck and whatever.
Okay.
So... how do I get exercise? I walk 6 miles a day.
Okay.
To work. And it's built in. It's automated.
It's automated.
If I don't do it, I can't go to work. And there was a time where my wife was like, do you want to buy another car?
Yeah.
We could get one. We can afford one now. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I like it. Oftentimes she's like, do you want me to pick you up tonight? I'm like, no. I mean, like, unless you have a schedule that you need to keep, like we need to be fast. You can go somewhere tonight. That's fine. But if it's just like, do you want me to pick you up? I'm like, no, I'm fine. It's just automated exercise.
Yeah.
Right? Built in.
That's good.
I
agree. I agree. Just so you know.
There's no, I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
With everything I say.
Always.
Looking at your face. You're agreeing. Look at this. It's like, this is an agreeing face. Type of face.
As I nod up and down.
There's one more aspect of automating that I want to kind of hit on. Okay. So do you know much about willpower?
I have very little.
there's this series of essays about willpower.
The finite amount of willpower that we have.
Do you know about it?
We've talked about it. Oh. You have an amount of willpower per day.
You do. Mm-hmm. You have a finite amount of willpower. Mm-hmm. So let me give you an example. If there's an open candy dish at your work, and it's by the secretary's desk, and you have to walk past that when you go to the bathroom. You have to decide every time you walk past not to reach in.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Every decision you make, whether like super conscious or just a little bit below conscious level, is tapping into the willpower that you have, the reservoir of willpower, and it's extracting a little bit.
Yes.
If you were to, for example, do is something as simply put a lid on top of it, not remove it out of sight, just something, put a little bit more of a barrier.
Mm-hmm.
You automate the barrier, right? That will take less willpower because it takes more effort out. You know, you have to like embarrass yourself by making this clink, clink, clink with a dish, you know? If you were to even take that step further and put it like below the thing or even move it entirely, now that decision is not even there.
Mm-hmm.
And that reservoir of willpower is reserved for things that actually matter.
Mm-hmm.
So in this way, you automate these choices, right? If you want to eat healthy, don't go to the grocery store when you're hungry.
No.
Right? And go to the grocery store when your willpower is high. Don't go to the grocery store after you've had an argument with your spouse or something, or you've gotten bad news on the phone. right? Go to the grocery store when you're right after you write down the goal and your willpower is high. Go to the grocery store, buy all the great food. Now, when you're making the choice, you open up the refrigerator and all you see is cucumbers and carrots.
That's all you got.
That's all you got. And you're going to be like, well, it's either this or order a pizza, which, no, just kidding. which, you know, is so it's more obvious. You just reach in and grab the cucumber.
Yep.
So automating those decisions. Okay, number six, make to-do lists. We've talked about this a little bit about, you mentioned it earlier. What does a list do for you?
It makes it so I don't have to keep a list in my head. It's true. I make a list when I am calm, at the height of motivation and willpower.
Mm-hmm.
And this list is, for all intents and purposes, the best thing for me to do the next day, right?
You make a list in the night for the next day?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's the best thing for me to do with my time the next day,
right?
Or I'll plan in the morning on the way to work.
Yeah. Right?
I have 30 minutes to plan.
Mm-hmm.
And what this list does is it automates my decision-making of what am I going to work on later today. I know how to pace myself. I know I kind of have an understanding of how much energy I need, how much focused energy I'll need, or how much just passive energy I'll need. But making a list makes it easy to complete tasks. Without a list, I'm unorganized.
Right. And, that's exactly right.
Yeah. And
how does it feel when you tick a box?
Oh, it feels great.
Yeah. So sometimes if like I have to do something that wasn't on the list, I'll write it down and then tick it off because it feels so good.
Yeah.
Like it's just like give that shot of dopamine. You're like, I'm an achiever.
Yeah. Yeah. I do that. Yeah. That's funny.
Oh man. That's funny. Number seven is pre-commitment, and it's very similar to autopilot, but pre-commitment is more along the lines of if, let's say I'm on a budget financially.
Okay.
Am I going to go out to dinner with my friends and bring my debit card? Or why don't I just say, I'm going to bring $10 in my pocket. So there's no way you can buy drinks.
There's no way.
Right? So it's you're making these choices before your friends are like, hey, let's get another round or something like that. The decision's already been made. All I got is $5 for this, you know?
That's all I got.
Yeah. Pre-commit. You decide upfront what the cost is going to be to you for any improvised decisions.
Mm-hmm. Cost and time. Is that what you're referring to?
Cost in time, energy, and monetary, like whatever cost it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to, I'm just looking, grabbing examples, but
I have a good example.
Okay.
So I set up the schedule at the beginning of the year for myself, and I have a lot amount of time. And I broke down a summary of how much time I have each week,
right? Yeah,
and where my time goes. So I have time for my family, Pinger, working out, sleep, and then last extra work or like work for my brand, Los Montoya, right? And so because I've pre-committed all this time, all the hours I have in a week to these buckets, if anything comes along. If I say yes to it, let's say someone hanging out or going to dinner or playing a video game or something like that.
Yeah.
If I say yes to it, I know what I'm taking, where that time is coming from.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's a really interesting way of holding yourself accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Accountable.
So it makes it harder to say yes and easier to say no because my allotted time, that's what's important to me this year.
Yeah.
That's what I'm focusing on.
Yeah. I remember, I don't know if how related this is, but it was really struck me when I heard it. This person called up, it was like a therapist or something on the radio.
Mm.
And she was like, I have a problem. I am overspending.
Okay.
And I'm driving my family into debt because I just buy things. I'm a compulsive shopper.
Okay.
Shopaholic.
Yeah.
And it was interesting, the advice that the therapist gave. He said, When you get that feeling, go to the bank. Go to the bank and withdraw the money physically.
Oh, okay.
And say, family, F you. This is mine. I'm doing this because I'm selfish and I think about myself more than you.
Yeah.
And then put the money back in. And that's interesting, like what you're saying about your time bank.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, if I do want to play video games or hang out or go to a party or whatever mm-hmm. with you, there is something on the other side of that that's going to suffer, mm-hmm. whether it's time with family or my freelance work mm-hmm. or my rest mm-hmm. that's going to suffer. Mm-hmm. Something is going to suffer. Mm-hmm. I don't do that enough. I don't hold myself accountable to, I'm just like, yeah, I can get this done. And then like, I'm like dead the next day and my employer suffers.
Yeah.
See? Shame on me. All right. Here's a good one. Number 8, tackle the tough things first.
Why tackle the tough things first?
Is that a rhetorical question or are you literally answering me?
I'm literally asking
you. Okay, because sometimes you're looking up into the left again. And I think you're asking yourself. Okay, so here's why. Here's why. You want to discover early on if it's something worth doing.
By tackling the tough things.
Yes. So let me give you an example in website development.
Okay.
Let's say you have a plan to do X, and X is a really cool thing that you've never done before. Uh-huh. There's a lot of things surrounding it that you have done before, but they just take time. And logically, you would want those things there first because, you know, they're part of the structure of the page or whatever. The wise thing to do is to isolate that really tough thing and get it operational first. Mm-hmm. What you're doing is, if you want to take the idea of another grid, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, let's do a graph. Mm-hmm. On the X axis, you have difficulty, and on the Y axis, you have risk.
Okay.
Right? So what you want to do is tackle the things that have a lot of risk.
Okay.
Right? And if they're less difficult, that's better.
Yeah.
Right. So you can make sure you get those things done. But in the case of this thing, this web project that I'm mm-hmm. Postulating about, the risk is, can I do this thing that I've never done before?
Right.
So you want to take care of that risk first, get it out of the way, and then the rest will follow because you know what you're doing the rest mm-hmm. of the way. So the risk is the biggest unknown.
Right. So spend the time with the biggest unknown so that if it's something that you absolutely cannot do, you can stop and do something else.
Readjust. Yeah. Readjust. Make a new plan. Now I wrote here, tackle the tough things first. Maybe we should change that to tackle the risky things first.
It's the risky things.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for helping me see that.
Yeah.
Tackle the risky things first.
Yeah.
What don't you know? What are the unknowns about the project? That's where you focus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And discover quickly if you want to continue with the project or change the goal.
Yep. Yep.
I like it.
That's good.
Thanks. That was a good one. All right, let's continue on. Number 9, keep yourself and your surroundings clean and tidy.
Oh, yeah.
How does that help you achieve your goals?
It's in order. Everything's clean. It's everything's clean. So I'll give you an example of my wife.
She clean.
She's very clean.
She clean.
She's clean and she clean, boo.
She clean.
She's clean and organized, right?
That girl clean, dude.
But
for real though?
For real though.
That girl clean.
That girl should turn up.
She clean. Like what if clean was like
yo. That's like that girl clean.
That needs to be a new like she hot. Like she clean.
Oh, she clean.
She clean.
She clean.
That's so funny because that means like the average girl is just dirty. Anyway,
she's so clean.
She clean. Tell me about your wife's cleanliness.
She wakes up every morning and makes the bed.
Are you still in it?
No, I'm gone. I'm gone.
Yeah, no. I don't normally make the bed.
Yeah.
I share a bed with another human that doesn't make the bed either.
Yeah.
But I have noticed that when my wife is out of town, I make the bed. I make the bed. It's a sign of like ownership. It's
so I read an article about within these last 2 weeks.
Uh huh.
And it said to have a more successful day. And they did a statistical analysis of people that have successful days and how are they measured it.
Okay. Right?
But to have a successful day, make your bed in the morning.
There's all these things. Make your bed.
But the reason I bring my wife up is if she doesn't make her bed, right? If she doesn't make the bed, she feels unorganized and like her day hasn't started.
Mm-hmm.
It's not clean.
Yeah.
And those things are in the way from her achieving
her goals. It's a ritual.
Yeah, it's a ritual. For making her bed, right?
Yeah.
But for
it's empowering. It can be.
It is empowering. For me, my desk is clean at work.
Yeah.
My essentials are there. Mm-hmm. That's it. There's no mess. There's no extra paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
My desk in my office here at home is clean. Everything's clean. And for me, if I want to focus on something on my desktop or my desktop, if my desktop has tons of files and they're not organized, it kind of just sits at the back of my head as,
oh yeah,
it's just taking like 10% of energy just knowing that it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you can totally function with that there.
You can.
But another 10% somewhere else, mm-hmm. another 10% somewhere else, and then all of a sudden you can't function really well.
Yes.
There was a time in my life where people would just come to me and bring me pieces of paper all the time. Maybe it was a sketch that they wanted to see, something designed. Maybe it was like an outline or an article or something. And I would just have this pile of papers on my desk. And I never really understood why it caused me so much grief, but it was always there. And I kind of like, it was just there. Until I threw them away. I was just like, I declared desk bankruptcy. Yeah. I don't give a crap what any of this is. Even if they're due soon, you're gone.
Oh, I love that.
And it was brilliant. Like, it felt so much better. And you know, since then I've just chosen smaller desks.
Yeah, that's good.
Because the bigger your desk is, the more people are going to put paper on it.
That's funny. There's a coworker in my that I work with, and this person exists with papers all over the desk, and they know where everything is, and that's their state of being organized.
Like the dude from Jurassic Park.
Yeah. but this person knows where everything is, and that's how they focus. Like it doesn't bother them.
They probably have a dirty house too.
That may be the opposite.
What?
Right. There's a can't give you the source. But
there's because it's this, someone we know.
No. The source of where I read this thing.
Oh, okay.
I came across an article.
Right? Okay.
Another unsourced
unattributed
article. Yeah. Unattributed article. But it made the,
no, my favorite thing is
what's that?
Reading articles and not knowing where I read them.
Yeah, I forget. I read so many articles, I forget where I read them.
You know what? That's I was making fun of you, but it's actually true because like a lot of the times we read things, it's through an RSS reader, or it's through like a where people find a lot of things and put them together.
I don't know what that is. Aggregator.
Curated. Like it's like a curated collection.
Yeah.
You know? And you're like, wow, it doesn't. I don't know the source.
Yeah, I remember when I read it. I read it 3 years ago.
I remember what I was wearing when I read it.
I remember who I was talking to.
There you go.
But she, a coworker, made a comment as to why my desk is so clean.
Uh huh.
Right. And then I was like, yeah, but if it were up to me, my desk would be clean, but my house would be messy.
You want a messy house?
I don't want a messy house. It's just going to be messy for me. That's how I am. It's not my priority.
Right.
And she said, she's like, my desk is super dirty, but my car and my house, they need to be clean.
Uh-huh.
Right. But what the article said is that most people need a spot where they can just let things go.
Uh-huh. Right? So, oh, wait, that was the other way around to what I was mmming about.
Yeah.
So I was going to say they need a place where they can control it, where it can be clean. And you're saying the other, continue.
Yeah. So what my point to you is what I was trying to say is that you were starting to make an assumption that if I have a clean desk, I'll have a clean house.
You're just a messy person. That's what I was assuming.
Yeah.
You're just an animal.
I'm just an animal. Right? but that's the thing is that people need a place where they don't need to control and they can just let things go.
That's right? Interesting.
Because all the other parts of their life need to be controlled.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that it reflects my own life.
Are you messy anywhere?
Am I messy?
Yeah. Is there any...
I can be messy if there is not a pre-decided best place for something.
Okay.
So, for example, my backpack that I wear everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't have a place for it at home. So when I come home and I just kind of put it next to my bed on the floor. Like it's that's kind of messy, right?
Yeah.
Like And if you can multiply that by other things, you know, like, I don't know where to put my printer. Yeah. It's on the floor. I don't know. Yeah. So I'm not a messy person, but a lot of the times I don't make the time to define a spot for a thing.
Yeah.
And then when it comes time to put that thing away, I don't know where it goes. So it ends up like sitting on my desk.
Okay.
Or something.
Yeah. And I ask because my desk needs to, my work environment needs to be clean. So yeah. I can focus.
I agree.
But my home or my car, I'm okay if it's messy.
Oh yeah.
I'm okay if things aren't in their place.
I get agitated.
Yeah, it's relaxing for me. I'm like,
what?
I'm like, yeah.
No, I completely don't understand that. And I'm not even a neat freak. I would never consider myself a neat freak, but I don't understand that. Like, I would always prefer it cleaner. In fact, when I get angry, I clean. Seriously, if I get into an argument, and with my wife or something, and like I'm just like, I'll just like start cleaning. And the reason for that, like if you think about it, what I'm trying to do is control something.
Oh, that's funny.
Because I feel out of control when we have an argument.
That's funny.
I do
the opposite.
You throw things around.
I literally flip my desk.
That's funny. I've never understood that. People like punching a wall. I'm like, you're going to have to clean that after the wall is punched.
That's me.
You're a wall puncher.
I'm a wall puncher.
But you have to, like, after the wall after you calm down, now you have a hole in the wall.
You're like, yeah, I was mad.
But that's a problem for me.
I've never punched a wall while I've been married. But when I was like a teenager growing up in my parents' home, anytime I'd get mad, I'd punch walls and I'd make holes in them. And I think I messed up my wrists. I have wrist problems now. But I think it's
wrists.
Oh. I think it's from punching walls. I used to punch walls.
Okay, number 10. I'm just gonna keep on going. I don't know.
No, I want to talk more about punching walls.
Punching walls. I had like holes in my door a lot. My dad got mad and punched holes in my door when I was a kid. Like I did something stupid. I ran away from him and went in my room and locked the door. He punched a hole, like his fist through the door, reached in and unlocked my door. And then it's basically hanging on its hinges at that point. Cause it was a really crappy, like Home Depot door, but like, it was like the Terminator. I was so scared. Have you ever seen my dad?
I've never seen
him. He's like a solid dude. He's like a manual laborer his whole life.
Oh,
he's like,
so funny.
He like lifts things. He's older than me and he could tear me apart right now. He lifts things and he fixes them and he like hammers them and welds them. And he's actually really impressive, but, funny. Yeah, physically he's like a stout kind of person.
So funny.
He's a hurricane.
Right, number 10.
What?
Number 10.
Oh, yeah, number 10. Surround yourself with those who have similar goals.
Yes.
Obvi. This is why people go to coffee shops to write.
Yeah, to write, or they go to a gym.
To work out. It's not just the machines, right?
That's why CrossFit's so big now. It's because it's like a community of people.
You go to like a class or something?
Yeah.
What is class?
CrossFit is...
I don't exercise. I walk. Like that, we talked about that.
CrossFit in the last 6 years has increased in popularity and are popping up in...
What is CrossFit?
Many little corners. CrossFit is working... CrossFit is...
I don't care anymore. Let's continue.
Mm.
Number 11.
That's Travis Nielsen.
Yeah. Number 11, delay gratification instead of nixing it altogether.
Delay gratification instead of just not.
Instead of restricting yourself forever.
Mm.
Delay gratification.
Okay. Give me an example.
I'll give you an example.
I want a burger right now.
That's a great example. So let's say I'm on a diet.
I'm on a diet.
We are on a diet. You're looking great, by the way.
Oh, you too.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, we're not eating specific food for a set amount of time.
Yes.
If you were to say to me, Travis, you can only eat veggies and fruits and meat and whatever at these specific times for the rest of your life, I would say, F this. I'd rather die. I literally would. I would say I'm not going to do it. I would rather die early, honestly. But if you say, Travis, it's for a month, You're going to see some good results.
Yeah.
And you're going to pick up a few new good habits.
Right.
And then after that, you can try to incorporate those habits into your life. But generally, you can go back to what you were learning, the things you've learned. Because we did learn a lot that this thing that we're doing. Learn a lot about it. Interesting. I can make a few better choices now. I'm like armed. You know, I'm what is it called? Prepared or armed or something.
Prepared works.
Equipped. That's the word I want. I'm equipped. I'm equipped to make better decisions. Ooh. But if I want an in and out, I go freaking get an in and out.
Yes.
You know, but make sure that like it's not going to be, you know, whatever. You know,
White Castle.
But it's not going to be all the time, and I'm going to still like maintain the principles of the diet and such.
So delayed gratification.
But there's that light at the end of the tunnel.
You see it.
I see it. I'm a week away. I'm a week away. I thought I was a week away last week. And I was like, yeah, Jaina, yeah. And she's like, no, we got another week. And I was like, no. I was like, I'm not doing another week. She goes, you just do one more week. And I'm like, that's the light at the end of the tunnel. I go, okay, I can do one more week. And that's an interesting principle. Like, you know, if you're on an airplane and you're like on the tarmac and waiting to take off and there's like delays, have you ever noticed that they tell you it's going to be a half an hour?
Yes.
Because it's like proven that if something is a half an hour, it's you can deal with it. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. If you say, oh, we're going to be on the tarmac for 3 hours, which is usually the case, you're going to go crazy.
You're like, oh.
Because you can't see the light.
You can't.
Right? And so
you just hear all the chatter of seatbelts unbuckling.
And you're sitting next to the smelly person and, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's what I mean by delaying gratification instead of trying to get rid of it.
Why would you get rid of it? So I'm not eating burgers ever again. Like
I'm not the person that eats burgers.
Right.
And you would actually fall off the horse at one point. And when you do, it would be worse.
It would be worse than you delaying gratification.
Mm-hmm. Because what delaying gratification does is it gives you that gratification at a moment, so that you can be strong in it for more time in the future, right?
I like that. I like 11. Is this number 11?
This is number 11. Yeah,
I like that one.
All right, and the last one is remove deterrence.
Remove deterrence.
Mm-hmm. If you're trying to achieve a goal, you think, what is going to stop me from achieving this goal? Is it people that say they don't believe in me? Is it a certain technology is getting in my way? These notifications are always popping up. Maybe it's you have the wrong kind of food in the refrigerator. So what you want to do is remove those deterrents. And we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, but when your willpower is high, you remove those deterrents, make those decisions up front so that you don't have to make those decisions later on, or you don't have that negative influence, whatever form it comes in, when it hurts worse.
Yeah. Because deterrents are still motivation, but they motivate you to stop doing what you want to do. Right?
That's true. The thing about deterrence is that they usually just don't stop.
No.
And you have to make that decision over and over and over again. If you walk by the bakery in the morning.
Everything sounds so good. So nice.
But you know what I mean? Like, instead of walking by and making that decision every day, take another route. Like, decide up front.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And the willpower is high and you're not smelling that sweet bread.
Mm.
Yeah, that's all 12. That's all 12 principles.
That's great.
What do you got? You want to add anything? What helps you achieve your goals?
Support, right?
Yeah, so you said surround yourself with those similar people.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you a question? How long have we been going?
That's a deep question.
Yeah,
we're it says here 59 minutes and 25 seconds.
Oh, we can button it up.
We can button up the first. We can.
Let's do it.
This will be like a 50-minute episode because it's good. The first 10. I love it. I think it's great.
Let's do that. All right. Do you want to close it out?
I'll.
You close it out and I'll do the baseline. boom, 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 boom. What are you doing? You tell everybody where they can find us, and I'll do the bass line.
I'll do the bass line.
Boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom. Thank you for joining us for another Late Nights with Trav and Los. You can find us on Twitter with our Twitter handle at Trav and Los. You can find Travis at Travis Nielsen. Is that your Twitter?
What's that?
Was your Twitter at Travis Nielsen?
Yes.
Neilson. Okay.
Spelled the wrong way both times.
So you can find us on Travenlos, at Travenlos on Twitter, or you can go to travenlos.com, and all the way at the bottom, you'll have mine and Travis's individual Twitters.
I'm going to stop doing it with my mouth and put actual music on it.
Okay. You want to do it again?
No. Just keep going.
That's funny. Also, you can find us on iTunes. Go to a little search box and type Late Nights with space T, and we'll show up.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I prefer the method of Trav space A.
Trav space A, and that works too?
I think so.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's A or A-N. But
nice.
Yeah.
Nice. If you've enjoyed us in your earbuds.
Earballs?
Earballs.
Yeah.
Leave a review. It helps us out. It helps others that stumble upon us get some validity that this is something that they should listen to.
You know, we've gotten a lot of great feedback from our listeners. Sometimes it's in the form of questions for topics in the future. Sometimes it's in the form of like, hey, you need to fix this thing about it. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, that sucked. Mm-hmm. And that's all really appreciated. So if you guys want to tweet to us, we both monitor at Travenlos. Mm-hmm. It's called at Travenlos.
At Travenlos.
And we like to hear from you and engage with you.
Yeah.
I just winked. You can't see it. All right, let's sign off. This is Commander Travis. All good and out. Bye. Good and out? I don't know.
Good and out. This is Los.
Sergeant Los.
Sargente Los.
What is Sargente?
Sergeant.
Oh my. I mean, I guessed it, but I just like to be astonished by your Spanish. All right, good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
I'm not going to say it.
Good night. No. Okay, no, good night.
Okay, good night.